Six Music.
BBC Radio 6 Music.
From 2 a.m, the Introducing Mixtape with Tom Robinson.
BBC Radio 6 Music.
At midnight, Guy Garvey's Finest Hour. Right now, it's Don Letts.
Delinquents, juvenile delinquents, happy as can be. We waste no time on the wherefores and whys of it. We like crime, and that's about the size of it. People say that films immoralize us, lead us to a life of shame. Mental doctors try to civilize us, psychoanalyze us, blimey, what a game. They don't know how to treat us, or if they should beat us, that would never do. When they say go steady, we've the answer ready. And the same to you. Three juvenile delinquents, juvenile delinquents, every now and then. When kind old cranks mention angels of light to us, we say thanks and don't forget to lie to us. Nowadays the younger generation never has to face brute force. Some old judge instead of flagellation puts us on probation. Blimey, what a source. Last night we got an earful from a rather tearful clergyman we knew. When he turned the sobs on, we replied with knobs on. And the same to you. Three juvenile delinquents, juvenile delinquents, happy as can be. We break our backs to achieve popularity. Three sharp whacks, faith and hope and charity. Once we've pinched a Cadillac and Rover from the Marble Arch to Kew. Hit a fat old geezer in the Rover, barely bowled her over, blimey what a do. We had to cosh a proper dentist or a copper starting to pursue. So we cried vibrato as your old tomato. And the same to you.
Kicking off a style and subculture clash special, Colin Kemble, Peter Tuddenham and Norman Warwick's Three Juvenile Delinquents. Yes, one and all, I'm Don Letts and this is my part of BBC 4 and 6 Music Sound of Style season. Now, I was born in 1956, so by my reckoning, I'm as old as rock and roll. And what you're about to hear is my take on the British style-led movements that took place in the last half of the 20th century. It's by no means definitive, but one way or another I've been touched by or part of all of them. Well, maybe not the rockers or the goths or new romantics come to think of it. Anyway, it's about the ones that did make an impact on yours truly. Teds, mods, skinheads, soul boys, punks, two-tone, rave and beyond. Across the show tonight, Tommy Steele, Dobie Gray, Eddie Cochran, Desmond Dekker, Small Faces, The Who, The JBs, The Sex Pistols, The Specials, The Slits, Tapazuki, The Clash, and Soul to Soul. Now you must be wondering what the hell the Don's got to do with any of this. Well, I bailed on school after discovering rock and roll and headed straight to the Kings Road, Chelsea. Back then, the place to be if you're into music and a dedicated follower of fashion. From 1972 through to about 1979, I worked in shops and boutiques ranging from high-end Italian fashion, hip denim stores, retro vintage, and punk couture. And there's no denying that what I learnt on that street during that period undoubtedly played a major part in making me who I am today. Now, the emergence of British-led style subculture came out of the doom and gloom of post-war Britain and was born on the back of a new economic and social demographic. The teenager and the advent of rock and roll.
some of the rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me. If you wanna dance with me. I have no kick against my girl. Unless they try to play it too darn fast. And change the beauty of the melody. Until it sounds just like a symphony. That's why I go for that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me. If you wanna dance with me. I took my loved one over across the tracks. So she could hear my man a wailing sax. I must admit they have a rocking band. Man, they were blowing like a hurricane. That's why I go for that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me. If you wanna dance with me. Way down south they gave a jubilee. The Dutchy folks, they had a jamboree. They're drinking home from a wooden cup. The folks dancing got all shook up. And started playing that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me. If you wanna dance with me. Don't care to hear them play a thing. And then you move to dig a mambo. It's way too early for a congo. So keep a rocking that piano. So I can hear some of that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music.
Berry's rock and roll music. Now, when this new sound landed on these shores, the Teddy Boys were already in full effect. Dressed in draped jackets that harken back to Edwardian times and with quiffed hair and brothel creepers, they had a distinct style and sure didn't look like their parents. And for many, they were the first recognisable style-led British subculture. But the introduction of this new American music, coupled with their movies, would take things to another level. Soon Teds are wearing intricate brocade waistcoats and bootlaced ties, a la Mississippi Riverboat Gambler. And from that point on, American culture became part of many British subcultural movements, but not all. And most importantly, there was always a twist. It never looked American. It always ended up being distinctly British. This is Tommy Steele's Rebel Rock.
You got a rebel rock. Hey, you got a rebel rock. Yeah, you got a rebel rock. Well, you got a rebel rock. Let your feelings show. Go, cat, go. Well, if you say you gotta do it, don't. If you say you gotta do it, don't. If you don't wanna do it, say you won't. If you say you gotta do it, don't. When you're at home, whom your life's your own. Now, if they're gonna ask you nice, if they're gonna ask you nice, make them have to ask you twice. Make them gotta ask you twice. Have a heart of ice when you're at home. Well, are you ready, rebel? Oh, oh, oh. Are you ready, rebel? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Are you ready, rebel? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Are you ready, rebel? Oh, oh, when you're at home, hell, your life's your own. Ask you nice, no, no, they're not gonna ask
love about doing The Breakfast Show is, because the music is so great, all these amazing people listen to it.
Yeah, it's great. You know, me and John, we'd always stick it on before we started writing.
Yeah, the cat's got chops, you know, no question about it. Great tunes, just like that.
When I'm not listening to Gardener's Question Time, old Titch Marsh here always likes to slip Keaveney on of a morn. Anyone who disagrees, meet me in the garden shed.
Oh, Nelson, you're talking about a great Breakfast Show.
Sean, what?
You're living in a dream world, mate. None of these people actually listen.
Ah, you'd be wrong there. Old Tell certainly does.
No, he doesn't. Do you?
He's right, you know. I don't.
The Sean Keaveney Breakfast Show.
And by the way, you sound nothing like me.
Back tomorrow from 7.
On BBC Radio 6 Music.
I'm a having a nervous breakdown. A mental shakedown. I see my hands how they shiver. I see my knees how they quiver. My whole body's in a tether. I'm a having a nervous breakdown.
Soundtracking another style tribe that emerged around the same time as the Teds, the Rockers. They took style tips from movies like The Wild One. We're talking jeans, leather jackets and biker boots. And their lives revolved around the motorcycle. And how's this part of my story, I hear you asking? After all, I was pretty young when this was happening. Well, the Teds and the Rockers were my first visible signs that there was something different going on. And the arrival of my parents' generation from the Caribbean in the 50s would throw a curveball into this Anglo-American mix that I'd see unfold in the coming years. Just look at the pictures of the people arriving on the Empire Windrush. They ain't wearing loincloths. The men are wearing smartly tailored suits and trilby hats, and the women, brightly coloured coats and dresses. And along with their music, they brought a splash of colour to a very grey palette. Now, in certain parts of the UK, their arrival caused some friction, and that led to race riots with Teddy Boys in Nottingham and Notting Hill in the late 50s. And the introduction of the media's part in not only spreading these subcultures, but also destroying them as well. The actions of a few were reported as those of many, and the media creates its first teenage UK folk devil.
Shoot them away.
I shan't get
home. Goodbye, the Pampa Bear.
Decker and the Aces, 007. You know, it was only when it was reflected by my white mates later on that I came to appreciate the immense impact of Afro-Caribbean style, typified by Jamaicans. I'm looking at them and they're looking at me kind of thing. Now, nothing comes out of a void, and the Jamaicans themselves were reinventing what they heard and saw coming out of the Afro-American experience, taking style tips from musicians and movie stars alike. Elements of American and Jamaican culture were now a permanent part of the mix in the UK, and in the coming years, other influences would come into play as each movement tried to one-up the other. Fashion's always been a big part of the working-class lifestyle. It's about empowerment, identity. It's about defining your sexuality and creating status. I mean, the British class system plays a big part in the creation of these subcultures, because the only way we could compete, indeed, all we had were the clothes on our backs and the music we consumed, and it proved to be a deadly combination, and the British excelled at it.
In this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refused to shine, people tell me there ain't no use in trying. Now, my girl, you're so young and pretty, and one thing I know is true, you'll be dead before your time is due, I know. One thing I know is true, yeah, you'll be dead before your time is due. Know it. Watch my daddy in bed at time. Watch his hair been a turning gray. He's been working and slaving his life away. I know he's been working so hard.
Yeah! and you somewhere, baby. Know it too.
The Animals, We Gotta Get Out of This Place. Now, no one knows when it was that these new teenagers started looking forward. I mean, the Teds were pretty backward looking, and the Rockers, well, they were happy racing their bikes between transport cafes. But there was a new generation emerging that had some money in their pockets, and they wanted to embrace the future. They're digging American jazz and R&B, and the movies they're referencing are more Steve McQueen than Elvis Presley. They're also taking ideas from Europe via French and Italian cinema. And the latter provided what would be an icon of the scene, the scooter. And they're putting whatever they took from wherever through the British blender to produce the mod.
One, two, three. One, two, three.
Of a Thousand Dances. My older brother Derek came into his own with the advent of the mod scene. With his mohair suit, white roll neck and dark glasses, he looked like one of the few black guys you'd see on the TV show Ready Steady Go. Probably the first example of a subculture being spread nationally on TV, and its part in killing it. Because truth be told, part of the whole thing was elitism.
You and me, baby.
Otis Redding, I Can't Turn You Loose. Gotta say, for somewhat obvious reasons, I do remember being particularly interested in the mod girls you'd see dancing to tunes like that on Ready Steady Go. They were rocking that Mary Quant androgynous look, personified by the program's host, Kathy McGowan. And it was that show's televised performance of my next artist that would take the new sound and style of Jamaica straight into the nation's living rooms. Millie's My Boy Lollipop. You know, interestingly, the mod scene had bands that championed their style, and I remember being taken by the fact that this scene had started on the street and moved up to the likes of the Small Faces, the Kinks and David Bowie, who all had a mod thing going on at some point. Most notable was probably this lot. Explain. By now, a new generation of younger kids became mods, and they're so far from the war, they're creating their own. And that's how I end up at home as a kid watching mods fighting rockers on Brighton Beach. Exciting stuff at that age, even though much of it was fueled by the media. This was to coincide with a new ingredient coming into the mix, American psychedelia. And some old school mods and bands jump ship. The hair gets longer and the drugs change from speed to hallucinogenics. It's all velvety and the sharp edges get softened. All of a sudden, you've got anglicised hippies.
Over bridge of sights, to rest my eyes in shades of green, under dreaming spires, to Ichiku Park. That's where I've been.
What did you do there?
I got high.
What did you feel there?
Well, I cried.
But why the tears there?
Tell you why. It's all too beautiful. It's all too beautiful. It's all too beautiful. It's all too beautiful.
I feel inclined to blow my mind. Get off me, the ducks with a bun. They all come out to groove about, be nice and have fun in the sun. Tell you what I'll do.
What will you
do? I'd like to go there now with you. You can miss out school.
Won't that be cool?
Why go to learn the words of who?
What will we do there?
We'll get high.
What will we touch there?
We'll touch the sky.
But why the tears there?
I'll tell you why.
It's all too beautiful. It's all too beautiful. It's all too beautiful. It's all too beautiful.
I feel inclined to blow my mind. Get hung up, feed the ducks with a bun. They all come out to groove about, nice and have fun in the sun.
It's all too beautiful. 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 It's all too beautiful.
Small Faces, Ichiku Park. As it happens, this new sound and look wasn't for everyone, and the mod scene began to splinter. Some went off on a soul trip, while others stripped it back down to the sharp, crisp look of the original mods. They weren't up for any of this psychedelic business from home or abroad. They looked closer to home and the emerging sounds of the West Indian communities. Crucially, many of them had grown up and gone to school with, well, people like me. Paul Simonon of The Clash was one of them. So it wasn't an alien sound or look to them, it was almost a second language. They combined elements of working class attire, boots, braces, etc., with different elements of Jamaican style. Narrow hitched up trousers showing white socks, trilby hats with a slightly narrower brim, and tonic suits. Next thing you know, we got this lot.
I want all you skinheads to get up on your feet, put your braces together and your boots on your feet, and give me some of that old moon stamping. Get ready! We got 3 million miles to reach on the moon. So let's start getting happy now. Ready? Yeah, 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 yeah! On the moon, fellas. We gotta make sure that everything is thick and strong. Alright?
Yeah.
You gotta make sure you shine your boots. Brush your teeth. Because the man on the moon looking different from man on the earth. That's what I say, boy. Now remember, I'm your boss, Skinner speaking. My name is Caleb.
Alright.
Right. And remember, I'm the boss. You can see. Look on my foot, or my feet, whatever you want to call it. You can see I've got the biggest boots. That's all right. Now, when I say sing, I want everybody to get in the groove and start singing because we're on the move. Ready? So let's start singing one more time. Ready?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love it when you hear a song that you're completely familiar with.
It's Jamie Cullum. I am live in the BBC Radio 2 studios.
BBC Asian Network.
BBC Radio 1.
Welcome now to the Radio 3 Lunchtime Concert.
The BBC Trust represents the views of licence fee payers to get the best out of the BBC for you. They'd like to know what you think about the BBC's music radio services, including programmes here on Six Music. To take part, go to bbc.co.uk/BBC Trust.
Simrips, Skinhead Moonstomp. Behind me, the Upsetters' Return of Django, one of a shedload of tunes on the Trojan record label, favoured by the Skinheads. Another media coin term, I might add. And they were straight up working class mods who were into fashion, not fascism. And it was during this period that I became a fully fledged member of the fashion scene. I say fashion as opposed to style, because that would come later. So, I'm taking cues from what's going on around me. I've got my Harrington jacket, or if it was cold, my Crombie coat, with the hanky folded ever so, hanging out of my breast pocket, held in place by a tie-pin, of course. I'm sporting Prince of Wales check trousers with a blue window pane, although I did like those white stapers as well. That combined with some oxblood brogues, and I was good to go. Here's Simrip again, telling it like it is, or was, with Skinhead Jamboree.
Remember me? I'm your boss again. Skinhead.
everybody to dress up for this jamboree. First, you got your boots ready? That's the Martin boots. Buy yourself a boot. You got your jeans ready? You got your jeans ready? Levi jeans? I'm sorry, you can't come in. Your hair's too long. You gotta get a haircut. The rest of you is okay. Now, special shirt, Ben Sherman. Only cost 59 and 6. That's alright. Alright. Now, girls, we want a couple songs. Let's say 25. 30, but save one for me. Save one for me. Don't care how many you take. Just save one for me. Save one for me.
Skinhead girl. Skinhead girl. Skinhead girl. There she was, swinging down the high street. Yeah. Hair cropped short, boots set firm. I couldn't believe my eyes. Like the story out of a book. She was my.
Girl, and I'm glad the ladies got a mention because they were very much part of the mix. They too had an androgynous thing going on because aside of the odd skirt and patent leather brogue shoes and their cropped hair with feathered sides, they actually wore a lot of the same stuff as the guys did. Personally, I didn't dig braces on the female anatomy, but hey, what do I know? We'll be right back. It may or may not have occurred to you that, ironically, all these style-driven movements, for whatever reason, were initiated by men. We talked about fashion playing its part in teenagers trying to find an identity, but even that was flawed, as inevitably it meant you ended up looking like your mates. It was also a sexual statement as well, because ultimately it was about pulling a bird, to use the vernacular of the day. And at my age, that was a priority. Never mind impressing my mates. So, in a twisted way, the girls were the driving force behind all these movements. Here's Joe the Boss.
Skinhead revolt.
I remember going to after-school youth clubs like the Lansdowne in Stockwell, and we were united on the dance floor through style and music. There was a bit of Tamla Motown in there, and even the odd glam hit caught our ear. But for the most part, Jamaica provided the soundtrack for me and my mates. Once again, and fueled by the social climate of the times, a few misled skinheads would play into the hands of the media, and before long, a new folk devil was created.
Skinheads revolt.
Now, while I'd been preoccupied with the London scene, another had been growing up north. Somewhat retrocentric, it evolved around a passion for old obscure American soul B-sides and manic dancing. Importantly, it had a base where like-minded lovers of this sound could come together, the Wigan Casino. Style-wise, we're talking massively flared pants for the boys or flared skirts for the girls, coupled with those kung fu slipper things, and all designed to exaggerate highly acrobatic spins and flips. These teenagers had come to dance, because this was Northern Soul.
On her way to work one morning, down the path alongside the lake, a tender-hearted woman saw a poor half-frozen snake. His pretty colored skin had been all frosted with the dew. Oh, well, she cried, I'll take you in and I'll take care of you. Take me in, oh, tender woman. Take me in,
yes,
for heaven's sake. Take me in, tender woman. The snake. Now she wrapped him up all cozy in a coverture of silk, and then laid him by the fireside with some honey and some milk. Now she hurried home from her work that night as soon as she arrived. Now she found that pretty snake she'd taken in had been revived. Take me in, oh tender woman, take me in, for heaven's sake, take me in, tender woman, the snake. Now she clutched him to her bosom, you're so beautiful, she cried, but if I hadn't have brought you in, by now you might have. Now she stroked his pretty skin again and then kissed and held him tight. But instead of saying thanks, that snake gave her a vicious bite. Take me in, oh tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, tender woman. Sighed the snake. Even a while, and you know your bite is poisonous, and now I'm gonna die. Ah, oh, shut up, silly woman, say that a reptile with a grin. Now you knew darn well I was a snake before you brought me in. Please take me in, oh tender woman, take me in, for heaven's sake.
Take me in, tender woman. Come on in, you pretty thing.
Northern Soul classic, Al Wilson's The Snake. You're tuned to a Style and Subculture Clash special with me, Don Letts, on BBC Six Music. In part two, I'm tearing it up on the dance floor with a Jackson 5 afro before skanking at the punky reggae party. So, cuts from Ohio Players, The Clash, Big Youth, X-Ray Specs, Future Sound of London, and Malcolm McLaren. That and more right after another Northern Soul classic from Dobie Gray. Out on the floor. JB's Giving Up Food for Funk, a classic example of what we were up to down south in the early 70s. You're tuned to a Style and Subculture Clash special with me, Don Letts, on Six Music, my personal look at the British style-driven movements that took place in the last half of the 20th century. Still to come, tales of shops, punk rock, hip-hop and funky dreads, with tunes from Magnetic Man, Oasis, The Slits, Grandmaster Flash and The Specials. Now, the Northern Soul scene had a Southern counterpart because pre-punk, up and down the country, it was all about the Soul Boy, and I was one of them. Can't remember how I segged from Skinhead to Soul Boy, but it felt like a natural progression at the time. I'm wearing coal on my eyes, I've got several ear piercings, and I'm sporting a huge afro coupled with things like jelly sandals, Hawaiian shirts, mohair sweaters, kabichi tops, and brightly coloured peg leg trousers. London had soul clubs and one-nighters all over the place. Upstairs at Ronnie Scott's, the Bird's Nest, Columbo's, Union Tavern, Q Club, the Trafalgar. Occasionally, I'd venture out to the Lacey Lady in Ilford, but my favourite was the Sombrero on High Street, Kensington, frequented by Bowie and friends. And I think the soul scene's real contribution to pushing things forward was bringing black and white kids together en masse across the nation before anybody else. Here's Willie Hutch. Brother's Gonna Work It Out.
Brothers 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 gonna work it out.
Y'all hear me?
Now don't give him no peace sound if you don't mean it from your heart. United, we can get over, but yet we're still apart. Cause each man demands respect, and they get an equal. Until you're giving him that, there'll be no peace. The brother's gonna work it out. Brothers gonna work it out.
Brothers gonna work it out.
Brothers gonna work it all out.
Brothers gonna work it out.
Our brothers say, stop the pimps, the hustlers, the pusher man, as fast as you can. Open your ears and eyes to the facts of what's truly holding you back.
Oh,
Mariah Players, Fire. In 1972, I'd left home aged 16 and immediately headed to the King's Road, Chelsea. It was only a matter of time before I found myself working at Ogier Domani, a high-fashion Italian shop. Not long after that, I'm selling denim in the G Machine, a trendy shop whose staff looked like wannabe Warhol stars. And through them, I found myself hanging out with an alternative set that included Piggy, Michael and Galinda, Luciana RIP, and Andrew Logan with his whole alternative Miss World thing. Pretty eye-opening stuff for a black kid from Brixton. But the times, well, they were a-changing. Now, this hedonistic scene was great fun, but it was devoid of politics and a million miles from the reality of most of my friends. Entering the mid-70s, times were tough, socially, economically and politically. There was massive unemployment, three-day weeks, power cuts and the rise of the National Front. And as Johnny Rotten so eloquently put it a few years later, a general feeling of no future. It was around this time that I stumbled into Malcolm McLaren and Vivian Westwood's Too Fast to Live, Too Young to Die at World's End on the King's Road, Chelsea. Shortly after this fortuitous meeting, they changed the name to Sex. Now, I say fortuitous because it was Malcolm that showed me how to join the countercultural dots, explaining that it had a tradition and a lineage, and that if you were brave enough and you had a good idea, you could be part of it too. Anyway, Sex switched from selling biker jackets and custom-made zoot suits to fetish wear, and their clothes became art. I remember buying a rubber t-shirt. Well, Michael actually gave it to me. Anyway, I went home and snuck into my bedroom to try it on. Now, Michael forgot to tell me that talcum powder would make getting it off and on a lot easier. Cut to me with said rubber t-shirt, half on, half off. It's wrapped around my neck with a vice-like grip, and I'm like dying, like suffocating, literally, and far too proud and embarrassed to ask my Rasta brethren, who I shared a flat with at the time, for help. Had to rip the bloody thing off on the bedpost. As I said, times were tough, and if things weren't bad enough, to add salt to the wound, American Soul was about to change into disco. It was dread out there, and I needed an appropriate soundtrack.
And after I enter through this door, no one else shall enter. Certain place on King Street is said it'd be a car park, so it is, baby.
Marcus Gatton words come to pass.
Yeah, of course.
Marcus Gatton words come
to pass. I've seen it many, many, many times before. Yeah. And Mr. Marcus Gatton say, black people down here will never see themselves until they mark against the wall. Yeah, you never know yourself until you're back against the wall. Some will rise and some will fall. But black people will never know themselves until they mark against the wall. And that is what Mr. Marcus Garvey said. Yeah, the brother says what I feel shall be the battlefield. And I know liar, serious, serious, serious matter I say. And what I feel shall be the battlefield. Arena, the stadium, the camp and the gun court. All the children, hospital. What I feel shall be the battlefield. Shot, he will be stones with stones. And the blood going flood and the blood going run. Blood up tone and blood down tone and blood run down. Blood in the woods and the blood in the country. Marcus Garvey word. And the righteous black man must stand. And the weak heart black man must fall. Yeah.
righteousness must always stand. Cause if it don't, prophecy will fulfill upon you, and you will crawl like dogs.
Where is Baba Wire?
Baba Wire, catch a fire. Yeah. Baba Wire, catch a fire. Don't let me miss a burn down crossroad. Baba Wire, catch a fire, I would say. Baba Wire can retire. Yeah. Baba Wire, catch a fire. Can a guy that the prophecy fulfill upon?
Big Youth's Marcus Garvey.
You're listening to a Style and Subculture Clash special with me, Don Letts, part of BBC 4 and 6 Music's Sound of Style season. My transition from soul to reggae coincided with things being less about fashion and more about style. It wasn't a conscious decision, just the natural outcome of me moving between all these different scenes in the 70s. Early Subculture Clash. And if I learned anything from my journey up to that point, it was that style was cool, but it's nothing without attitude. I struck lucky in the mid-70s when I got to manage the now legendary Acme Attractions, situated in the basement of the Antiquarius on the King's Road. It was owned by John Cravine and Steph Rayner, but it was run by yours truly and Jeanette Lee. Along with original clothing was stuff from the 40s, 50s and 60s. Electric blue zoot suits, Marlowe crepe sole shoes, mohair sweaters and wraparound shades. And you could get a pair of shocking pink peg trousers for 15 quid in Acme. They were 50 insects. The interior was decorated with a mix of popular subcultures, juxtaposed. There was a three-piece suite, a jukebox, a mod scooter parked in the middle of the floor, and then there was yours truly, leopard skin waistcoat, dark glasses and dreadlocks, along with Jeanette in her mini skirt and high heels, and my booming dub reggae soundtrack. All in all, a deadly combination if I may say so myself. In Robert Elms' book, The Way We Wore, he describes his first visit to our establishment thus. There was a retro feel to Acme, but it was put together so that it felt terrifyingly modern, way out, confrontational and new. Cheers, Robert. For a while, Acme was the best club in town, attracting a cross-section of soul boys and disaffected youth from across the country. They come from the music, the clothes and Jeanette, but not necessarily in that order. Major and bit players from the emerging punk scene and more stopped by. The Clash, The Pistols, Chrissie Hynde, The Slits, Susie Sue, Deborah Harry, Paddy Smith and Bob Marley. In fact, the last conversation I had with Bob was when he took the mick out of my bondage trousers. He said I looked like a nasty punk rocker. He'd been reading the tabloid press. I told Bob he was wrong and that these kids had something going on. A few months later, he penned Punky Reggae Party. In Acme, the interaction between the different factions became more important than selling merchandise. It reflected London's multicultural mix and signposted the way things were heading. Now, as I said earlier, the social climate was pretty tough, but at least I had a soundtrack to ease my pain. My white mates, well, they weren't so lucky, as the popular music of the time was a million miles from the feeling on the streets. But all that was about to change. This is The Clash, 1977.
I hope I get If you're gonna step onto the path of rock and roll, make sure you have appropriate footwear.
BBC 4 and 6 Music take you behind the scenes of the love affair between music and fashion.
Strutting across the stage, your foot planted on the monitors. For many, owning a pair of Terry de Havilland's made you part of this fraternity.
Musicians are drawn to Terry's shoes because he is a physical connection to the world of rock and roll.
From Bowie to Led Zeppelin, Amy Winehouse to Depeche Mode.
It doesn't matter what generation, they all want to wear those shoes.
Rock and roll cobbler, you want that on your tombstone, don't you?
Exactly. Never mind the cobblers, the Terry de Havilland story.
Part of the Sound of Style season.
Available now at the Six Music website.
Anarchy in the UK. Now, I'm a great believer that every generation needs its own soundtrack. And in the late 70s, my white mates created their own punk rock. Before long, there's a scene with bands springing up all over the place. They had a sound, a look, but no place to play. So So, Acme accountant Andrew Jackowski started the Roxy, the very first live punk rock venue in the UK, and asked me to DJ. Little did I know, I'd have a ringside seat to one of the most significant subcultures of the 20th century. The Roxy provided the third important ingredient of any serious musical movement. The bands, a set of characters, and a base or HQ where these like-minded people could feed off each other. And once again, I'm playing heavy dub reggae in between fast and furious live sets from the likes of The Clash, The Damned, Susie and the Banshees, The Buzzcocks, and The Slits. Unlike the previous style-driven subcultural movements, this time the girls stood toe-to-toe with the boys. That was Typical Girls from The Slits, who I actually tried to manage for a while, the operative word being tried. Style-wise, all bets were off, as punk deconstructed all that had gone before and added some new touches, which resulted in no one actually looking the same. That whole safety pin, mohawk, bin liner thing was really the fallout from the Pistols fiasco on the Bill Grundy TV show. Punk really was all-inclusive. And as Malcolm McLaren had told me a few years earlier, if you had a good idea and you were brave enough, you could be part of it too. Styrene's X-Ray Specs with Germ-Free Adolescence. The Pistols' Grundy fiasco had created the tabloid punk, and yet again, the media played its part in killing the initial movement, focusing on nihilism and negativity, and it was never about that. Acme Attraction's heyday drew to a close when it went overground, literally. It moved from the basement and was now situated on the King's Road itself. And it changed its name to Boy, which was the nail in the coffin for me, because it was a bastard child of Acme that catered to the tabloid punks. The same punks that were now in running battles with the Teds on the King's Road. A situation I found myself in between on more than one occasion. I saved punks and the odd Ted from getting a right kick in, I can tell you. And once again, the tabloids had their headlines. For the original punks, it was time for a change. They disassociated themselves from the first wave, and post-punk was born. Musically more interesting, it was full of ideas. Two Tone was a prime example. Jerry Dammers put the beats and bass of Jamaica with the energy of UK punk, and a new sound and style, albeit reinvented, was born. Looking like the music sounded. That was the Specials' Gangster. Like their clothes, the band was black and white, and it was great to see and hear the sounds and style of Jamaica being put through the British blender to create a politicised music that looked good and made you dance and think at the same time. Two Tone's combination of music and style was absolutely massive in the UK and echoed around the globe. But something else was about to come into the mix that would capture everyone's imagination.
You see, one for the trouble, two for the time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
Bad vibe, ready, tell me everybody's side. DJ spinning, I said, my. Flash is fast. Flash is cool, Francois, Sipar, Flash ain't no do.
You see, one for the trouble, two for the time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
Of American hip-hop culture, the adventures of Grandmaster Flash on the Wheels of Steel. This movement almost knocked the UK for six. A product of the DIY ethos, it was black punk rock. Hip-hop came with two turntables and a microphone, and like punk, it was a complete subculture with its own distinct look, b-boys and fly girls in customised sneakers, and I guess what would be the beginning of Ghetto Fabulous. All of which nearly derailed the UK scene, but by now the Brits were masters of the form. They just did what they always did. Took what they liked, put a Union Jack on it, and dumped the rest. Many their first introduction to hip-hop, Malcolm McLaren's Buffalo Gals. And through artists like African Bambaataa's interest in UK punk rock, such was its global notoriety that for a while in New York City, there was a punky hip-hop party, championed by The Clash.
Why don't you say the truth, pal? I don't like music. Come on, you're looking funny when you're
Only buildings of people prophecy. Time's a place to hide. No.
time we entered the 80s, and inspired by the punk DIY ethic, I'd reinvented myself as Don Letts the filmmaker. And in 1982, the Clash imploded, and next thing you know, I'm in Big Audio Dynamite. Our sound was a combination of New York beats, Jamaican bass lines, and UK rock and roll guitars, which kind of summed up our visual references too. The band was also an excellent excuse to keep pursuing my interest in music and style. Not that I needed one.
Fell from the sky, scratch my head and wonder why. Time slides into time across an actual dateline. Scientist eats bubblegum, Hall of Fame, baseball, senators a hoodlum. Big Chiefs in a hall.
America had reasserted itself with the rise of hip-hop culture in the 80s, while in the UK, big hair and big shoulder pads were doing it for some, with the likes of Duran Duran, Culture Club and Human League. But on the other side of the street was a grassroots scene with a sound and look that was about to burst into the mainstream. It took style and music tips from America and Jamaica, and crucially, in time-honoured tradition, put a spin on it to make it distinctly British. From 1990, this is Soul to Soul's Back to Life. things played out, Big Audio Dynamite kept me busy, musically and stylistically, till the end of the 90s. And the sound and style of our final album was inspired by the last identifiable style-driven movement in the UK, even though it had none, and is really the end of my sartorial tale. Rave.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. And we want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time.
And that's what we're going to do.
Well, wait a minute, let's go.
I always thought of rave as a backlash against the gloss of the 80s. It took music tips from Chicago and New York and style tips from the Teletubbies, I'm kidding. But combined this with light and pharmacy to create a scene that was all about dancing. But from my perspective, it was totally devoid of what I called style. These kids are wearing multicoloured dungarees, smiley t-shirts and kickers for Christ's sake. And there was lots of hugging. Bez once told me that the bright colours were so that they could find each other in the dark. It spawned young entrepreneurs that were also about turning a profit. All of a sudden, you got thousands of kids in fields going ape. The tabloids get more headlines and rave goes national. It was great seeing the youth get down and all, but man, they looked like clowns. You could even argue that rave killed the tradition of kids dressing up. But there was one last gasp, one last attempt to bring back the more style-driven sounds of days gone by.
Sonic.
Oasis there with Supersonic. Now, I guess the Britpop thing wasn't really a subculture, but it was a style-driven sound complete with poster boys that harkened back to traditional bands. It was a bit mod, a bit swinging London, and a bit Manchester, with retro enthusiasms that embraced the guitar, bass and drum ethic, and the desire to bring back style. It wasn't new, but for a while it was fresh, and importantly, it celebrated British culture. As we approached the new millennium, style-driven movements gave way to musical genres as the digital age came into play, a sign of the times. British style-led subcultures had had their day. The internet would create a climate where nothing could be sub, as everything became available at the click of a button. Now, it would be naive to suggest that subculture's dead. It's still out there, much of it facilitated by the internet. It just doesn't look as good. The subcultures I grew up on were created in a climate where the mainstream didn't satisfy your every need. So you were forced to find out stuff for yourself. Inevitably, that would lead to other like-minded people, and the subculture would begin. The internet's killed all that. It's killed the mystery and the naivety whereby these things could happen. It's also removed the pain and the struggle, which was an important part of the process and formation of these subcultures. They happened because we had so little, not because we had so much. As for me, well, it's still about attitude. I mean, after all, anyone can buy clothes, but you can't buy attitude. However, you can accessorize. So, there's no reason to look like a slob. Sympathy en masse, footage of blast, triggers petition and You've been listening to a Style and Subculture Clash special with me, Don Letts, on 6 Music. And if you like what you heard, you can tell a friend to listen again or catch up on my page of the 6 Music website. Until next week, I'm signing off with Blur's End of the Century.
She says there's ants in the carpet, dirty little monsters, eating all the mussels, picking up the rabbit.